Turning to John 6, and the climax of this teaching comes in some of the verses at the end. I will come to them eventually. But in verse 51, the end of the verse, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 53, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's the climax of what the Lord Jesus was teaching for us and for that time, about being united with him spiritually. And he takes the argument from the necessity of daily food and drink to apply to daily spiritual food and drink to maintain our faith. When it comes to those verses that I have just read, Jesus really is speaking in parables, that people may hear and not hear, that people may see and not see, but that those for whom the Lord intends it will understand it. Well, we turn back to verse 27, then we will work up to that climax. The Lord lays it down that we should get our priorities right. Labour not for the meat which perisheth. Now, of course, we do that. We do that every day till we retire. We work to earn, to buy our daily food so that we may keep body and soul together, as the expression is. But Jesus says that is not the ultimate priority. Now, don't take that as an excuse for loosening that priority. If you have it in mind that it is obviously a very significant priority to labour for the meat that perisheth, just up it. Don't downgrade the other, but up that. Labour not for the meat which perisheth. If you do labour hard for that, do it still more for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So here is food that feeds our body till we die. And Jesus is introducing us to himself as the food, spiritual food, that will keep our souls alive forever and ever and ever, and keep us alive in spirit, even in these days in which we are in the world. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So study the scriptures, seek to know Christ in your heart, seek that he may dwell by the Spirit in your heart. The Lord Jesus gives life. We know life, and it's kept there because we eat and drink, but spiritual life is because we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, abide in him. But there's a special way in which we come and abide in him, and that Jesus is going to move to shortly. They said, well, what should we do? And here Jesus is saying, this is the work of God. You want to work? You think in terms of works? Your works will not save you. But it is hard work, perhaps, to believe in somebody whom you can't see. So make the effort to believe in him whom the Father has sent. That's Jesus. It does need labour. It does need work. It does need the prayer of repentance. But this is the work, that you believe on the Lord Jesus, as he was saying to them, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They wanted a sign that Jesus' words were true. Jesus then said unto them, correcting them, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Now, if you read the chapter in Exodus, as we mentioned last week, Moses received from God what he should say. He actually said to the people what was going to happen, but God had first introduced it to him. So it's true that Moses did not give this bread. Moses only saw it come. Moses only received it like everybody else for 40 years. Moses did not give it. But what Jesus doesn't say is my Father gave it. He says, my Father giveth you something else. My Father now gives you the true bread from heaven. That's Jesus. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and he gives life to the world through the eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood, which we'll come to. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that gives life, spiritual life. He was succeeding, but seeking for his elect to believe that they heard when they heard the Lord Jesus, that clearly he was the bread that gave them spiritual life. It was an awakening. They hadn't been aware of this before, but now they love it. And the promise is wonderful. If the Lord gives us everlasting life, if the Lord forgives us our sin, we will always have this spiritual life, and we'll have it forever and ever. We'll have it now, and we'll have it through the whole of eternity. And that's the faith. And he is the author of that faith. And they were objecting to him. They did not think he was the Messiah. And Jesus here is very firm with them. You've seen me, but you haven't believed. There will, of course, be many generations like ourselves who do not see and yet have believed, which is, of course, what Jesus said to Thomas. But you've seen him and you haven't believed. I sometimes think of all the folks round about. They've heard of the gospel, but they haven't believed. Now, it may be they'll come to faith if the Lord so wills it, but the situation they're in now is dreadful. You've seen me, and you believe not. Now, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and if you're not coming, you're not one of the ones that's been given. So you won't believe, you can't believe. Now, they began to get their backs up when Jesus put it like that, but it's true. And here is Jesus preaching the gospel, preaching to find his elect in the crowd that were at the 5,000 and who still come to hear the Lord Jesus. They didn't all merit these things that Jesus was saying, but many did. But those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ would take these truths as something very welcome, while the great majority were rejecting them. So Jesus here says, if a man believes in me, I will raise him up at the last day. That is to say, when our bodies die, when they moulder in the ground, when the Lord returns, he will raise them up again. Now our souls will go straight to be with him when he dies. Dealing with that a bit this afternoon. But as far as our bodies are concerned, we will have new bodies. Everything will be made new. That's a tremendous promise. That we will have everlasting life has come up 4 or 5 times in this chapter. And I will raise him up at the last day comes up 3 or 4 times. These are wonderful, tremendous things to think of, that will be raised up, you, me, I, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be raised up into life where we'll see the Father and be with him forever. And it's the Father's will. The Father's, that I should not lose one of those. If I lose you, then that's evidence that you're not one of mine. But I will lose not one of those, but will raise them up at the last day. We know that the Lord will return when the last person has been saved. That's something that we understand. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son, he's talking about those in his own lifetime who would physically see him, that everyone that sees the Son and believeth on him, that's still true now. Everyone who reads the Bible and sees Christ doesn't actually believe, doesn't actually turn their heart towards him, doesn't actually throw their lives upon him. But everyone who sees the Son in the scriptures here, because we're many years after, and believeth, has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, if you feel your hearts warming to that, bless the Lord for his salvation, for choosing you in eternity, for enabling you to believe. Then the Jews murmured. And of course it was the ones who were not his people, the ones who didn't believe. And then again in verse 44, no man can come except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now, in these two verses, the Father is significant. First of all, he says, the Father draws those whom he's given to the Son, to him when they hear the preaching. Jesus is preaching, and the preaching of the word of God in the Bible. No man can come, might try and believe, but things will hold you back. But the Lord softens the heart. The Lord makes himself and the Savior to appear so attractive that there is a mutual attraction. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But it's written in the prophets, in the book of the prophets, it's specifically written in Isaiah 54 verse 11, they shall be all taught of God. And these tremendous words, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When you think of the religions that own one God, Muslims and the Jews, they believe that they have access to the Father. And what does Jesus say? Everyone that's been taught of the Father, everyone that's learned from the Father, genuinely learned, genuine taught, comes to me. And if you have a religion where they do not come to Jesus, they haven't been taught of God, which would rather annoy them, I think. But the word of the Lord is very powerful in this verse. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Probably the second shortest verse in the Bible. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, Jesus has already touched upon the fact that it is possible to believe, but he's not laid out the important aspect of it, which is repenting. But he's now going to open up that bit of the subject. He that believeth on me, and he doesn't mean, somebody says, well, yeah, I think he lived, I think he existed, I think he was a nice man, I think he did the things I read about. That is not receiving Jesus Christ. That is not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we attain that bread of life? What is meant? Now he says, get hold of this. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. Probably none of them were believers except Joshua and Caleb. That's why the older generation perished. They murmured. But he is that bread of life, the Lord Jesus. And he says, now, I'm that bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now he's beginning to get into the parable, and it's at this point, without losing the place, that I want you to turn to Matthew 26, because it helps. Because here we get it unfolded to us, what it means to eat and drink the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We eat it by eating the bread and the wine. As they were eating, Jesus taught them. He took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to each disciple. But what did he say? He said, take it, eat it. This is my body. Now the bread is not the body, because he was there in the body. He was speaking in the body. So when he says, this is my body, the bread, he means it represents his body. So he's not saying what the Jews in John 6 thought he was saying, that they somehow got to be cannibals, you know? This is my body. The bread represents it. When you eat this bread, remember my broken body. If you're going to believe, if you're going to be disciples, it's my broken body, my work on the cross, by bearing your iniquities, by bearing the punishment of your iniquities on Calvary. This is what he's showing here. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, all of you drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant. So this wine represents that blood. By eating that bread and drinking that cup, and understanding what it signified. It shed for many the blood for the remission of sins. The body was broken on Calvary, as blood could not be shed. It was all part, but it was the blood gives the life. The atonement is in the blood. For that the life must be given, the body must be broken. But you see here what he's saying. Eating my flesh and drinking my blood is giving thanks and taking it into yourself as something you believe. The fact that Jesus died and gave his life and shed his blood to make atonement for your sins. When you do that, you're eating his flesh, you're drinking his blood. So the meaning there, that passage, makes it easier perhaps to understand John 6. Of course, that passage in Matthew hadn't happened at this time. It was later in his ministry, of course. But this is what he's meaning, and this is what in advance he's teaching. And they're not getting hold of it, you see. Jesus is saying that to believe, it's my work on the cross, it's the breaking of my body, it's the giving of my blood, so that you may have the pardon for sin that gives you life, spiritually. And you are the people who will be lifted into heaven. And you will never part from me, and you will spend eternity enjoying my riches. We need to understand it, don't we? So in verse 51, he said, I am the living bread. I am the living bread. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I, says Jesus, am the living bread. No one else. No emperor who thought himself to be king. No false prophet, either before or subsequently. Only, absolutely only, the Lord Jesus. And the Jews still look for their Messiah, and he was it all those years ago. Only the Lord Jesus. The veil will remain upon their face till they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews. But only Christ, none other. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now that's an answer to what the Jews were saying. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So we've looked at the teaching in Matthew 26. We know how the Lord Jesus can give us his flesh to eat and how we can drink his blood. Jesus said, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Well, they're very much alive, but they were spiritually dead. And that's the way they would remain unless they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no life. The only life is through Jesus Christ. The only life worth calling life is spiritual life. This life is very good. It's why I chose the hymn we had second. But it's not all easy, it's not all good, and it's shot through by sin. And to be redeemed, to go to heaven where there'll be no more sin, to look forward to those sort of things, we need to understand that Christ alone takes away sin. They said, well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, he did so on Calvary. He did so by dying on that cross. The Jews themselves had him crucified. But he died there for a purpose, to bear in his own body the sins of man, and that the pouring out of his blood is the atonement for their sins. These things are the life of the world. If we don't have atonement for our sins, we are going to be visited by God with the punishment for our disobedience and our sinfulness, which comes by nature. And we won't survive it, except in hell, which is hardly called life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, this is verse 54, hath eternal life. One commentator I read, compared it with verse 40. He that believeth may have everlasting life. And Jesus this time doesn't say may have, but hath eternal life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. So we now know what is meant by that. We have eternal life because we believe in the blotting out of our sins by the pain and torture and the dying and the blood of Jesus Christ. But they didn't have any idea of what he was talking about at that stage. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Keeps repeating this. Everlasting life, in this case, eternal life, same thing. Everlasting life, being raised up at the last day. I've often tried to evaluate, not very successfully, but I've often tried to evaluate how much my peace of mind comes from knowing that I shall never die. I mean, I'll still have to go through death, through illness, through sickness, all the other things. But I know that I shall never die. I know that when I die, my soul will go straight to be with the Lord Jesus. I know that when the Lord Jesus returns, that he will raise my body from the dead. And if I'm still alive when he returns, I will be changed in midair, according to the scriptures, to have that new body. But when people who've not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ come to the time that they're about to die, they often brazen it off as if they don't care, or they don't know, or it'll all be before they awoke and were born. They'll go to sleep again, it won't matter, as if there was no judgment to come. But I often wonder how much peace and certainty they have in their heart. What gives the believer the ultimate basis, the ultimate foundation that enables him to have peace and knowledge of God? It is that the Lord Jesus has paid the price of our sin, has forgiven us our sin, and in consequence, we enter, having been made new, into everlasting life by being raised. Jesus is stressing that all the way through. We're wounded in him by the Spirit, as he was wounded on the cross, but he has borne our punishment. That everlasting life, being raised at the last dead, sink in deeply. For Jesus teaches these things to give us peace. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This is the only thing that will save you. This is the only thing that will give you spiritual life through all the ups and downs of your physical life. It's meat indeed. And it's drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. So, when Jesus said at communion, all of you eat and all of you drink, it is by taking into our bodies and ingesting that bread, and by drinking that drink, that we understand that the Lord dwelleth in us and we dwell in him. We take this death into our very bodies, into our spiritual souls, into our way of thinking. Just as when you eat and drink, it becomes part of you. I think people sometimes say, you are what you eat. I don't say that to people who are fat. But the expression is used, you are what you eat. And in spiritual terms, we are what we eat and drink. The flesh, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to take away the sins of his people. This then, he says, as he ends his speech to them, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Me. This is the significance of it. It's not like what your fathers had when they ate manna. They're dead. You'll be dead too. But spiritual life comes from eating the bread of Christ. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You have a choice. Have a choice. Dead? When you die, you stay dead till you're taken to hell. Dead or living forever, living by Christ. It did stir up the Jews. They did take in with their ears what he said, but not with their hearts. They got very annoyed. And the consequences of that are in the next part of the chapter, which we shall look at, God willing, next week. But never let anyone turn us from what we have in Christ. And even though things get bad in life, don't turn away from him. Don't give up on him. Because that is the only eternal salvation. Amen.
Amen.